Mark Dantos America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We've been talking about a series of news stories today that will impact your life and mine in the days ahead. As we've been mentioning several times on this show in the last hour or two, the broadcast interview source of Washington, D.C., has a news release about Mark Dankoff's America and the Republic Broadcasting Network, and also talking about the fact that we have picked up a new affiliate that is WMQM in Memphis, Tennessee at 1600 AM. That is a 50,000-watt station. We greet those folks and hope that there will be a very long partnership going on with them in the days ahead. Getting back to what we were talking about before the last commercial break, when it comes to this whole question of our military policy as it pertains to both Iraq and Iran, it's really curious to see, again, just the way in which corporate media has been talking about this in recent days. We had the report in the Wall Street Journal several days ago talking about the amount of money that was involved in this whole issue of the war. If you go back to the week, so-called weekend edition of the Wall Street Journal for February 3rd and 4th, there's a front page blurb entitled, What's News? And it says that a U.S. intelligence estimate on Iraq delivered a gloomy prognosis. Bush is set to seek huge, huge new sums. Those are the words of the Wall Street Journal. The report said sectarian hatred is growing, and Iraq's government and military are too weak to stop it anytime soon. Meanwhile, a top Bush aide said the president Monday will request $100 billion in war funds for 2007 and seek $145 billion for 2008. Keep in mind, folks, what we've already talked about this morning, and that is that Paul Wolfowitz, who was a major architect of this war for George Bush in regard to Wolfowitz's position at DOD, prior to March of 2003, he's now the head of the World Bank, and he said, hey, we can do this whole thing successfully and wrap up the occupation for $50 billion. Well, we've already spent somewhere between $400 and $500 billion, arguably 10 times the amount of money that Mr. Wolfowitz said it would take 4 years ago. And now, according to the Wall Street Journal, as of this past weekend, the president's going to ask for $100 billion for this thing for 2007, $145 billion for 2008. The article goes on to say that the intelligence estimate also said that the fight for sectarian primacy that would likely follow a U.S. pullout could draw Iraq's neighbors into a regional war. But it appeared experts are divided on how heavily Iran is meddling in the situation. You know, this is an interesting circumstance, isn't it? Because as we watch this whole situation unfolding in Iraq, certainly all the surrounding countries in that region do not want an unstable situation there, for therein are contained the seeds for outside intervention. You know, my tech here at RBN and I were discussing this during one of the commercial breaks. Saudi Arabia has been making a lot of noises in recent times about Iran and the fact that it is taking exception to what it sees as an Iranian-backed Shiite movement in Iraq that is perceived as threatening the Sunni Muslims of Iraq, who are, of course, far more hospitable to the Sunnis of Saudi Arabia. There has been a lot of talk about the possibility that if we end up with a situation where there is complete collapse in Iraq, that despite the troop surge and the appropriations of $100 billion and $145 billion in the next 2 years, that the Americans can't cut it, we could see the Saudis intervening on behalf of the Sunnis, the Iranians intervening on behalf of the Shiites. And there you have it, folks. This is Mark Dankoff's America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Obviously, something serious is going on, politically, economically, geologically, and environmentally. And how you prepare for those changes will determine your well-being in the very near future. Now, whether you're preparing for your family, your business, or your country, the Survival Center has the knowledge and experience to assist you in those decisions. Survival Center is America's premier supplier of family preparedness, health, and survival supplies with over 33 years of continuous operation. Now, you can start preparing with just knowledge, and that's why the Survival Center is offering a book. It's called Basic Preparedness, and it's just $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And it'll teach you about the four basics of survival: food, water, medical, and shelter. And when you order that book, you'll also get a free Survival Center catalog. Contact us today so we can help you prepare for whatever comes your way. Call us toll-free at 1-800-321-2900 or online at www.survivalcenter.com.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle, and today you're showing up in your new car and telling me you're buying a house? What did you do, rob Bill Gates?
No, John, I didn't rob Bill Gates. What I did do is visit the website www.didyourobbillgates.com. That's where I learned how to make $3,000 to $9,000 each and every week, starting with my very first week. It's a simple program that does all the work for you. I'm already up to $25,000 just going on my third week.
Whoa. What was that website again?
It's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Now write this down, John. You should go there and learn how this program can help you become financially independent, too.
Thanks, Bill. I'm going there right now.
Check, please.
You got this one, right, Bill?
Sure, John. Don't forget, it's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Next time, you'll be buying me lunch.
Deal.
Back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We've been talking about all kinds of news stories today, principally ones pertaining to Iran and the Middle East and Central Asia, and some of the movements in this country and in Britain and abroad that suggest that some forces and pieces of a puzzle are coming together to paint a picture that's not a very good one, and particularly in regard to that. I have had before on this show, weeks ago, Debbie Hopper as a guest here. She is a conservative Christian. She is a conservative political America First type constitutionalist. And she is the founder of something called Mothers Against the Draft. If you think that has a pink liberal tinge to it, it doesn't. She is an America First type. She understands constitutionally what needs to be involved in a war and what doesn't need to be involved in a war in regard to constitutional declarations of war and whether or not a particular war is in the interest of the United States. I wonder what she's thinking about now. I haven't talked to Debbie Real recently, but I know going back to when we were speaking about these matters weeks ago on this show, we were holding up the possibility that there would definitely have to be an American military conscription reestablished if this Bush, Cheney, Rumsfeld, Wolfowitz, Pearl, Wormser policy in the Middle East was to continue. And quite clearly now we're seeing a circumstance where the president is talking about an additional 21,500 troops for the so-called surge in Iraq. Nobody that I have talked to or have read who is deemed to have any degree of credibility at all in regard to military matters in Central Asia believes that that 21,500 troop surge, or what the Wall Street Journal has indicated, will be actually about 35,000 people when you count all the supporting personnel that would also augment those 21,500 troops. Nobody believes that that is going to quell what is happening in Baghdad. Nobody believes that that's going to quell what's happening in Al-Anbar province. Nobody believes that in terms of the ongoing tensions that are going on in the Shiite region of Iraq and places like Najaf and Karbala, that there's going to be any change in direction whatsoever. As Marty Callahan, my old friend at Third Coast Films, was saying weeks ago on this show, the British could not occupy Mesopotamia effectively with 1 million troops in the 20th century. What leads us to believe that the United States can now do it in Iraq with, say, 150,000 troops or 160,000 troops, whatever the final surge total proves to be, keeping in mind, of course, that we have 20,000 American troops and 20,000 NATO forces in Afghanistan, in a situation where the Soviet Union couldn't pull that off with 300,000 troops. Suffice it to say that when you intervene militarily and attempt to occupy an Islamic nation as a Western power or a configuration of Western powers, you can just about bet what the predictable results are going to be. As John Basil Utley has already said this morning in regard to the so-called 12 consequences of attacking Iran, which you can find at antiwar.com and presumably at John's own site at Americans Against World Empire, you see how quickly all of this is simply unraveling. Mr. Bush, of course, is talking about additional troops. Mr. Bush is talking about $100 billion additional funds for this operation in 2007 to be followed by $145 billion in 2008. And that presumes that there is no change in regard to our situation with Iran. There are so many people that believe that an attack on the part of the United States against Iran is imminent. We see the British minesweeper deployment on the part of Tony Blair. We see that the United States has 3 major aircraft carrier task force groups operating in the Persian Gulf region. We see specifically that the rhetoric has heated up between Tel Aviv and Washington on the one hand and Tehran on the other. Quite clearly, the move, as we've talked about it in recent days, of Admiral William J. Fallon, transferring him from SINCPAC in the Pacific, where he was the commander of our forces, Army, Navy, Air Force, and Marine Corps in the Pacific, to becoming the new head of CENTCOM, replacing General John Abizaid. Quite clearly, Fallon's appointment would seem to suggest, as Pat Buchanan has already talked about it, and Paul Craig Roberts as well, that Admiral Fallon's appointment to taking over CENTCOM, which has historically been a position occupied by an Army general, is in fact designed to launch a war with Iran. For Admiral Fallon's expertise involves naval aerial warfare. If you go back in his own biography during the Vietnam War, that's provably the case. Admiral Fallon is, of course, acknowledged to be an expert in U.S. Navy operations that are designed to keep sea lanes open. That would suggest that something is afoot in regard to Iran, particularly with the need to keep the Strait of Hormuz open in regard to shipping coming in and out of the Persian Gulf. We will see in the days ahead if that appointment of Admiral William J. Fallon and the transfer from SINCPAC to CENTCOM has any overarching transcendent significance. I'm going to suggest at this particular point that it does, and keep an eye on that story, even as we look at other stories today in both corporate and non-corporate media that suggest that our lives are going to change forever in these coming months unless something happens that we don't anticipate. And let's hope that it does. I would like nothing better than to be wrong about this situation with Iran. Nothing better than to be wrong about what I see as the present and future course of this country. Nothing better than to be wrong about what I see is an expansion of this conflict in the Middle East and the involvement in a lot more innocent lives in it, including the lives of a lot of young American men and women who are precious people, in addition to precious people on the other side who will be lost if this whole thing transpires. But I have not, I repeat, have not been wrong in the last 6 years in regard to what I've been talking about, related to the Middle East and related to Central Asia, and related to what I see as an attempt on the part of the United States to intervene in Iran. That's, I think, been on the back burner since 1979, and quite clearly in this present circumstance, the Jewish neoconservatives who have a disproportionate influence in American foreign policy want this war to happen. And if they want this war to happen, it's quite likely to happen. And if you don't believe what I'm saying, take a look sometime in your computers at the online Israeli press. Go to the Jerusalem Post, go to Haaretz, go to the Jewish Telegraphic Agency and see many of the statements that are being made by significant people in the Israeli military and defense and intelligence establishments. Take a look at what some of the leading Jewish think tanks are saying for public purview in regard to the need for this war to transpire. The long and the short of it is, it seems to be a massive case of the tail wagging the dog in regard to the ongoing influence, disproportionate influence, I would argue evil influence, of Tel Aviv in determining the foreign policy of the United States, which, of course, then gets into the question of paper trails and money trails and deep-seated political and economic associations that we know only partially. Those of us at the Republic Broadcasting Network and American Free Press who try to delve into these matters know some things that we can report to you, but there's much that we do not presently know that we're still trying to find out about in regard to what some of these larger links are. And again, getting back to something that I was talking about at the beginning of the show in regard to Hermann Otten's Christian News, that's the very fine German Lutheran conservative weekly that comes out of New Haven, Missouri. He's got a post on Monday, January 29th, entitled Neocons and the Jewish Connection. That is an article that has been reposted by Robert A. Sungainis of Catholics Apologetics International. And the significant thing in that article, and of course it's an outstanding article that goes into the very long and nefarious history of all of this, but the article itself mentions specifically that Father Richard John Newhouse, the ex-Missouri Synod Lutheran pastor who converted to Roman Catholicism and has been involved as the editor of First Things and has been involved in the worldwide ecumenical movement, that Father Richard John Newhouse has, according to Robert Sungainis of Catholics Apologetics International, received $8,207,500 from these neoconservative and Jewish think tanks. What is he doing for $8,207,500? I think it's pretty clear what he's doing, and that is that he is bringing the pro-Israeli, pro-Zionist perspective into the homes of thousands of unsuspecting readers. This is the same sort of thing going on with the minions of Fox News and Bill Kristol's Weekly Standard. It's the same thing going on at the New Republic. It's the same thing going on in the establishment organs of both the Republican and Democratic parties. And it begs the larger question as to what we should be doing as we analyze news stories that expose those connections. The connections are very, very deep-seated and, again, do not simply involve the Wall Street Journal and the New York Times and the Washington Post and Newsweek, although they clearly do. But we're seeing a very, very targeted infiltration of Roman Catholic and Protestant evangelical publications and news outlets and television shows. And that's not an accident, folks, because the Israelis have pretty much determined that there is a lot of bread to be buttered by financing those outlets and having paid agents of influence in those outlets that are bringing what the neoconservative think tanks want brought into the homes of unsuspecting thousands upon millions of Americans who are not of Jewish background, who have no specific reason to be pro-Israel, who night after night after night in certain controlled newspapers and television outlets are told that this impending war with Iran is unavoidable and that it's in their national interest. I don't believe that. I think there's plenty of data to contradict that. And in just a minute, we'll be talking about some things I'm going to be speaking about on Tuesday night on a television show that may get to the bottom of some of those things. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions Frequency Instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN Network.
Across America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Been covering a lot of different news items this morning since 7 a.m. And chiefly, we've been talking about the broadcast interview source of Washington, D.C. news release on Mark Dankos America and on the Republic Broadcasting Network, and the fact that we have a new affiliate, Memphis 50,000-watt station WMQM AM 1600. We greet those folks, and we hope that in the days ahead we're bringing some outstanding news analysis and some personal guests of high quality, both to the people of Memphis, Tennessee, as well as to the people of the world who listen to us via Internet and other affiliates, as well as international shortwave. John in New York, you're on the line for Mark Dankoff. Go ahead, John. You still there? Oh, okay. Well, getting back to some of the stories that we were talking about at the before the last commercial break, quite clearly we're talking about a ridiculous expansion of this war economically, $100 billion next year, talking about a so-called, what is it, $147 billion fiscal 2008. And curiously enough, There was a story in the Wall Street Journal on Monday, February 5th, 2 days ago, a ridiculous front page story by someone named Deborah Solomon, entitled How 6 Years of War Didn't Strain the Economy. She goes on in the first paragraph to say that since President Bush took office, he's boosted annual defense spending by 50%, including $500 billion over 5 years for fighting in Iraq and Afghanistan, and doubled spending on Homeland Security. At the same time, he's cut taxes, expanded Medicare to cover prescription drugs, approved $100 billion to clean up after Gulf Coast hurricanes, and signed bills that spend a little more each year on domestic programs. That basically is the Bush record, as the Wall Street Journal now admits it. But this article goes on to say that despite all of that, inflation is in check. Do you really believe that, folks, that inflation is in check? When you go into all of the statistics that the Wall Street Journal uses to attempt to say that inflation is in check, the fact of the matter is that this doesn't begin to account for all the people in the American middle class, or what was the American middle class, who have lost their manufacturing jobs. That's very significant, three million of those just since Mr. Bush has been in office. But there is a third ingredient that the Wall Street Journal cites on February 5th in this front page story by Deborah Solomon entitled How 6 Years of War Didn't Strain the Economy. There's a third ingredient in this that is absolutely pivotal to understanding what is going to happen to you and to me as a result of this coming war with Iran. Ingredient three, according to Deborah Solomon, is as follows, and she entitles it the most significant ingredient, is the willingness of foreigners to lend to the United States. The willingness of foreigners to lend to the United States, which finances the budget deficit without pushing up interest rates at a time when Americans don't save very much. Quote, this situation is what you'd call an exorbitant privilege, unquote, says Menzi Chin, a University of Wisconsin economist. Quote, we've gotten a pretty good deal so far, unquote. Emphasis on so far, folks, because if you get into the international media, the corporate versions as well as the non-corporate versions, take a look at the work of Dr. Krasimir Petrov, for example, who has been saying repeatedly, along with a number of other economists, that the real reason for the war with Iran has to do not simply with oil and natural gas resources, but has everything to do with the fact that the Iranians are trying to create an oil burst that will do business throughout the world and in the Middle East in a denomination that is not the American dollar, that will involve the European euro. When you understand the connection between the American dollar and the oil industry, and the way in which Richard Nixon and others from 1971 onward utilized the relationship, the so-called petrodollar, the relationship between the dollar and the worldwide oil-based economy, that arrangement has had a lot to do with the fact that so many foreigners continue to be interested and so many foreign banks continue to be interested in the American dollar, and lending money to the United States despite these incredibly ridiculous deficits because of the fact that the dollar is so important to the international economy as it relates to petroleum transactions. If that changes, it's going to be Katie bar the door. And I would submit that it's going to change not simply because of what Iran is trying to do, but because the Chinese and the Russians and others are looking at the overextension of the American military empire, they're looking at the size of the expenditures on this project in Iraq. Again, the Wall Street Journal is saying Mr. Bush wants $100 billion for this year, $145 billion for next year for this war. Eventually, the chickens are going to come home to roost, and there's going to be a collapse of the American dollar and the end of this guns and butter policy. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a biweekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle, and today you're showing up in your new car and telling me you're buying a house? What did you do, rob Bill Gates?
No, John, I didn't rob Bill Gates. What I did do is visit the website www.didyourobbillgates.com. That's where I learned how to make $3,000 to $9,000 each and every week, starting with my very first week. It's a simple program that does all the work for you. I'm already up to $25,000 just going on my third week.
Whoa. What was that website again?
It's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Now write this down, John. You should go there and learn how this program can help you become financially independent, too.
Thanks, Bill.
I'm going there right now. Check, please.
You got this one, right, Bill?
Sure, John. Don't forget, it's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Next time, you'll be buying me lunch.
Deal.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49. Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Been talking about all kinds of news stories today, both corporate as well as alternative media, that have some bearing on our analysis of what is happening in American Middle Eastern policy, what seems to be happening in regard to a move toward a preemptive war with Iran, and the ongoing influence of the Israeli lobby in all of that. I've mentioned before on the show today, and I will mention it again now because it may be of importance to some of the listeners, this coming Tuesday night, I'm going to be on an internet television show. Dr. Hesham Telawi, who has Current Issues Television, that show can be seen on the World Wide Web beginning at 6:30 p.m. Central Standard Time this coming Tuesday evening. I'm going to be on that show at some point, discussing with Dr. Telawi the whole issue of Christian Zionism. What is it? What is its history? What is its particular methodology in interpreting the Bible? And what are the political connections between certain Christian Zionists and the Israeli government in Tel Aviv and the wider Israeli military and intelligence and political nexus worldwide. That, again, is something we're going to be talking about Tuesday night on Current Issues Television. That's Mark Dankoff with Dr. Hesham Talawi this coming Tuesday night at 6:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. And you can find that telecast Tuesday night at currentissues.tv. Dr. Hesham Talawi is a well-connected Arab American who has all kinds of things to say on his show in regard to what is happening not only in the Middle East but in this country as well. And suffice it to say that when we talk Tuesday night about this whole issue of Christian Zionism, I'm going to be pointing out not simply that I believe that this system is off base in terms of biblical interpretation and what the history of all of this is, but I'm also going to argue that this movement has had a disproportionate and sometimes sinister unseen influence in the conduct of American foreign policy, to the point to where we are now talking about embarking upon what will be a third world war for reasons that, in my judgment, are totally avoidable and for reasons that have nothing to do with the interest of the average American, Christian or non-Christian. Again, that's something that will come up with Current Issues Television at currentissues.tv Tuesday night, 6:30 p.m. Central Standard Time, when I will be on to discuss some of these matters with Dr. Hesham Talawi. Getting back to what we were talking about in regard to Friday's show, if you are concerned about the Middle East, if you are interested and concerned about what is happening with Iran, if you're very concerned that we're going to be involved in a more dreadful situation in the next 12 months or less, then you need to tune in to Friday's show. I'm going to have two people on Friday who are fascinating folks, one of whom I know well, the other one that I am only acquainted with by reputation. The first guest we're going to have Friday morning, of course, I come on at 7 o'clock in the morning Central Standard Time, Monday through Friday. That will not change on Friday. I will still be on at 7 a.m. doing news analysis between 7 a.m. and 8 a.m. And then from 8 a.m. Central Time to 9:30 a.m. Central Time on Friday the 9th, I'm going to have Shireen Nashat on this show, who now lives in Los Angeles, California. She is the head of an organization called Sarbazan, S-A-R-B-A-Z-A-N. That entity deals with the history of the so-called unsung heroes of the Imperial Iranian Armed Forces of the Pahlavi era. She is a monarchist. That in and of itself is controversial. That'll be one of the things that'll probably come up in our conversations. But she has an awful lot to say as well about American foreign policy when it comes to this whole issue of her country. A fascinating woman. Her father, General Ali Nashat, was the last commander of the Shah's Imperial Guard. He stayed in Iran after the Shah and the royal family left that country. General Nashat was later arrested and executed by the Islamic Republic in Iran regime on April the 11th, 1979, I believe. And that's, again, another topic of conversation, as well as the whole history of Shireen Nashat's life, how she got out of that country, and how she eventually wound her way through Europe and ultimately to the United States. Then in the last part of my show, which will be that day from 9:30 to 10 a.m. Central Standard Time, I'm going to have a very, very famous man on this broadcast, Chalmers Johnson, who served as a consultant to the Office of National Intelligence Estimates of the Central Intelligence Agency from 1968 to 1972. He taught at the Berkeley and San Diego campuses of the University of California for 30 years, and he is the author of a new book that I have not read, but I am going to get a copy of it, probably will review it sometime, either for American Free Press or for BATR. And the title of that book is Nemesis, The Last Days of the American Republic. Again, that title is Nemesis, The Last Days of the American Republic. When you look at this guy's background academically as well as politically and the positions that he has held in the national security apparatus of the United States, I find it particularly fascinating that he has written a book by that title. And we're going to have the opportunity Friday between Shireen Nashat of Sarbazan and Chalmers Johnson in his new book, Nemesis, The Last Days of the American Republic, to talk about a lot of things in regard to what these two people perceive about the direction of the world and what it's going to mean in coming months. And, you know, I was talking with my technician during one of the commercial breaks this morning. You know, when you get into the international press, there is a lot of talk, not simply about this whole thing happening, but that it may happen by the end of April. Now, we don't know this, of course. Certainly, I don't know it. I don't have any inside information. But based upon some of the forces in the corporate and non-corporate media worldwide who are speculating about this, there are a lot of signs between the conventional military deployments to the Persian Gulf region and the appointment of Admiral William J. Fallon to take over CENTCOM from John Abizide. Other things that seem to be in the mix in terms of rhetorical heat being turned up in Tel Aviv and Washington and Tehran that suggest that something is afoot. A couple of stories in the institutional corporate press in recent days that I think absolutely dovetail with some of the things that we have been talking about in alternative media is the whole question of John Edwards. He was a Democrat nominee for the vice presidential nod the last time out. And my old buddy Kurt Nimmo has forecast that John Edwards is going to be the Democratic nominee for president this next time. And I think some of what Kurt has talked about is absolutely apropos. Seems to me you've got Hillary Clinton out there. Of course, she carries the baggage of her past and present connection with her husband, the things going on with the Vince Foster death that have never been adequately or fairly explained. She has the baggage of being identified with certain political constituencies in the United States that raise a great deal of hostility among a lot of people, not simply on the American right, but elsewhere. And there's just an awful lot there with Hillary Clinton. She has as many negatives as she has positives. But there you have someone who would seem to embody the so-called feminist constituency in the United States. Then there's Barack Obama, of course, from Illinois, who is obviously a black male. That suggests other demographics. It suggests a different region. With Hillary Clinton, you've got New York. With Barack Obama, you've got the Midwest, and you have the whole issue of the African-American racial angle. But then there's John Edwards. And when you think about John Edwards and the fact that he comes from North Carolina, and he's white and he's male, and he has the right look, I think, in terms of what media consultants would want in a president. He would seem to be the synthesis in the Hegelian dialectic, wouldn't he, between Hillary Clinton and the feminist constituency, Barack Obama, and those interested in having an African-American president. John Edwards fits all the demographics that have enabled the Democrats to win the White House a couple of times in the last 30 years with Jimmy Carter and subsequently with Bill Clinton. Compare John Edwards to those two guys, and what you have is a Southerner, a liberal, someone who is white, and someone who is male. That would suggest that Senator John Edwards is likely to be the nominee for the Democratic Party in 2008, but also, as Kurt Nimmo and others have pointed out, John Edwards has been doing a lot of traveling in Israel recently, folks, and has been making a lot of public appearances before organizations that are directly tied to the Israeli lobby. Does that suggest something? It certainly suggests it to me, and that is that he is being groomed as the next spokesman for the Israeli lobby and the Israeli government who's about to run for the presidency of the United States. I would suggest that there's something else that would be very interesting about Senator John Edwards. It would be quite curious, I would imagine, to get back into the Federal Election Commission contributor lists, into his past campaigns for the U.S. Senate, to determine precisely how much Jewish lobby money, directly or indirectly, has come into his coffers. If Father Richard John Newhouse has received $8,207,500, according to Robert Souganis of Catholics Apologetics International, for purposes of fronting for the Jewish lobby, if Father Newhouse has gotten that kind of money, who knows how much cash might be involved in regard to someone as prominent as Senator John Edwards. But suffice it to say that when you look at his demographics in contrast to Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, Senator John Edwards is a part of that winning formula for the Democrats in the last 30 years. White, male, looks good on television, liberal, and very much in bed with the Israeli lobby. I think Kurt Nimmo was onto something here, and that is that Senator John Edwards is quite likely to be the insider choice for the Democratic nomination for the presidency of the United States. I'll go along with Kurt Nimmo on this one. That would be my prediction as of right now, that Senator Edwards will be the Democrat nominee. And if that holds course, it will hold course with everything else that we have seen thus far coming out of the Congress, which is that there will be no change in American foreign policy, that the Israeli lobby and the neocons are in firm control. And if that, in fact, is correct, you can absolutely guarantee that disaster, absolute disaster, is sure to follow. And, you know, when you look at this whole thing, it is clear that in regard to the so-called, and I emphasize so-called, anti-war movement up there on Capitol Hill, that this movement has absolutely no teeth whatsoever. If you go back again to corporate media just from yesterday, Wall Street Journal had a front page summary saying, Republicans stymied a Senate vote criticizing Bush-Iraq policy. Supporters of a non-binding resolution, underscore non-binding resolution, folks, supporters of a non-binding resolution expressing disagreement with Bush's surge plan, a measure backed by top Armed Forces or Armed Services panel Republican John Warner and many Democrats, fell 11 votes short in a 49-47 procedural vote, with 60 needed to move on to a full floor debate and vote. Republican Chief Mitch McConnell said he had no wish to squelch a full airing of Iraq grievances, but wanted equal treatment for a resolution forbidding Congress from cutting troop funding. Democratic leader Reid vowed to resurrect the bipartisan measure. More games coming out of the U.S. Congress, folks. We get closer and closer to a full-fledged Third World War in the Middle East, with a full-blown reimposition of an American draft and all the other things that would follow this, particularly with the political blowback in the Islamic world. This is the direction that we're headed in. And quite clearly, when you analyze the so-called changes in the American government in Capitol Hill since the first Tuesday in November, reading between the lines, the Israeli lobby and the neoconservatives and the factions that want this war to happen and the expansion of this war to happen are going to have all of the funding and all of the troops that they want. They're simply going to have to figure out a way to sell this thing politically, which then gets into the whole question of what the false flag incident may be in coming months to create the remember the USS Maine or remember the USS Arizona or to create the Gulf of Tonkin context for this American intervention, this is American-Israeli-British intervention to happen. That's the way I'm reading the whole thing. And when you look at the at Nancy Pelosi and Steny Hoyer and Joe Lieberman and John Edwards, and simply look down the laundry list of the leading lights of the Democratic Party, both on Capitol Hill and among the announced presidential contenders, guess what? The Israeli lobby has an absolute lock on this entire situation, as they do in the Republican Party as well. So follow all of that in the days ahead in terms of the money trails and the associations. And to me, when I look at some of the statements, recent statements made by Hillary Clinton and made by John Edwards and made by Nancy Pelosi and Steny Hoyer, they sound absolutely as bellicose on this whole issue of Israel and this whole issue of Iran as Bush and Cheney do. Why is that? Well, it is because the two-party system is an absolute fiction in the United States, and we are talking about a corporate control of the American political process. We're talking about the control of the American political process on the part of the Israeli lobby and the American news media that guarantees that there's an absolute lock in this deal and that this thing is going to happen. And keeping in mind, if it does happen, getting back to this Wall Street Journal nonsense from February 5th in regard to Bush boosting annual defense spending by 50%, including $500 billion over 5 years for fighting in Iraq and Afghanistan, doubling spending on homeland security, asking for another $100 billion for this war this year and $145 billion for it next year. That's even aside from what may happen with Iran. And that he's cut taxes, expanded Medicare to cover prescription drugs, approved $100 billion to clean up after Gulf Coast hurricanes. He signed bills that spend a little more each year on domestic programs. The fact of the matter is, as the Wall Street Journal admits, the most significant ingredient in all of this is the willingness of foreign central banks to lend to this country. That is going to change. They see what's happening. They see what is happening in regard to this unsustainable character of what we have done in the Middle East. And when that wall begins to start tumbling down and the chips are called in terms of this foreign central banking borrowing that we've been doing, this is when the dollar is going to head in the inexorable direction that it will. And this is what is going to happen, not simply to the currency, but to the whole spectrum of things going on with American foreign and domestic policy in a fashion that suggests precisely what Kevin Phillips has talked about in his new book, American Theocracy, and that is that we are on our way out as a global empire. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be back. Stay tuned.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Attention, attention everyone. A brand new invention just released. It's called WristEase, the new patented portable ergonomic wrist support. WristEase comforts your wrists from the sometimes painful tasks of typing, writing, using a mouse or adding machine. Unlike most conventional wrist pads that are either attached to a mouse pad or lay flat in front of your keyboard, WristEase is totally portable and ideal for laptop users and technicians who are constantly on the go. WristEase is perfect for children doing homework or playing video games. WristEase provides the proper comfort and support for all ages and provides comfort for victims of carpal tunnel syndrome and other repetitive injuries. You can order WristEase now at WristEase.com. That's WristEase, WristEase, WristEase.com. Once again, that's WristEase, WristEase.com.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a biweekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
back. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. In these last 3 hours or so, we've been talking about a series of news stories, including a brand new news release by the broadcast interview source of Washington, D.C., which takes note of Mark Dankoff's America on the Republic Broadcasting Network and notes that we have a new affiliate, Memphis station WMQM-AM, a 50,000-watt station that for those of you in the Memphis, Tennessee area, you can find at 1600 AM. That's Memphis WMQM AM 1600, a 50,000-watt station that is a new affiliate for Mark Dankoff's America and also for the Republic Broadcasting Network. Getting back to what we were talking about before the break, there are a series of things in corporate media that I do follow, simply because from time to time there is some truth that gets out in corporate media despite their best attempts to conceal it. And then when we look at what they are reporting and what they aren't, with what we're saying in the alternative press, eventually some things emerge that are probably quite close to, if not in fact, the truth. Tomorrow, at some point in the show, I want to talk about something that appeared in the Friday, February 2nd Wall Street Journal, just as an example of this, where you will see a front-page story there by Russell Gold and Gregory L. White, and it's entitled, Russia and Iran Talk of a Cartel for Natural Gas. Potential clout alarms big European buyers, an unsettling alliance. The first paragraph sums it up for you. Russia and Iran, which hold nearly half the world's natural gas reserves, are talking about creating an OPEC-like organization for gas, a move that has the potential to unsettle energy markets and redraw geopolitical alignments. Folks, this relationship between Iran and Russia and between Iran and China and the whole question of the Shanghai Cooperation Organization come into play in regard to the various pieces that are being moved on the global chessboard that are designed to counter the things going on with the American neoconservatives and the Jewish lobby in regard to positioning themselves in the Middle East and Central Asia. That is potentially the wider story involved in this entire context of talking about an American, British, and Israeli attack on Iran. The fact of the matter is that the world's central banking system is not going to ignore this. The Islamic world isn't going to ignore this. The American domestic lobbies in this country that don't like this policy are not going to ignore this, particularly those who don't want their kids conscripted for this. And clearly Russia and China and the Shanghai Cooperation Organization are entities that are making their own movements, silent movements, economically and politically and diplomatically and even militarily in that region to ensure that there is a waiting response for whatever Mr. Bush may choose to do in coming weeks and months when it comes to attacking Iran. This is precisely what I think is developing. We're going to continue covering this day after day by looking at both corporate media as well as non-establishment media and coming to grips with what may be the changes coming in our lives in the next couple of months. This is Mark Dankoff's America signing off from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. See you tomorrow. And again, a greeting for Memphis station WMQM AM 1600, our new 50,000-watt affiliate. See you tomorrow, and then Friday we'll be joined by Shireen Nashat of Sarbazon and Chalmers Johnson. Take care.